We're going to search the scriptures together today using this is got there's a nice table in these couple of pages of Joshua that shows a subject and where it lies in either the book of Joshua, the book of Numbers, or Deuteronomy. So I've tried to keep these things in chronological order. You can correct me if I'm out of order in some of the things of Joshua's life. Joshua, the son of?
Nun.
The grandson of whom? Not as he was a man of renown, but not often. He was the chief of the tribe of Ephraim. His name was Elishama. So that's Joshua's lineage, the son of Nun, the son of Elishama, the chief of Ephraim. If you want to check me on that, it's in 1 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 27. Let's go to Numbers 13 and 16. These are the names of the men who Moses sent to spy out the land, and Moses called Hosea, or the son of Nun, Joshua. Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, "Go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people will dwell in it are strong or weak, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are forests or not. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land." Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob, near the entrance of Hamath. So this is one of our first encounters with Joshua, the son of Nun. There are a couple other Joshuas. If we have time, we'll just briefly touch on the other Joshuas in the Bible. Let's continue in Numbers 13 at verse 26. "Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran. At Kadesh, they brought back word to them, to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, 'We went to the land where you'd sent us, where Moses had sent them. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea along the banks of the Jordan.' Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it.' But the men who had gone up with him said, 'We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are, or than we.' And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in there are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. So we were in their sight.'" So this passage, we just read verses 26 through 33 to the end of the chapter. At least in the accounts that I've read, I presume that, of course, Joshua, although his name isn't mentioned here in verse 30, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses said, "Let us go up." And presumably Joshua was doing the same. Now let's go to Numbers 14, verse 6. What do we have here? We have Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, "The land we passed through to spy out is exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it unto us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the meeting before all the children of Israel. So this reinforces the common, what would we say, common report that both Caleb and Joshua brought back, that the place was truly, that they had spied out, was flowing with milk and honey, and that it should be taken. Now let us go to Exodus chapter 24. This may not be quite chronologically correct. If you have a good feel for the chronology, let me know after the class. Or if we have some time at the end, we can have a Q&A. Chapter 24, verse 13. So Moses arose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up to the mountain of God. This has got to be before that, right? So Joseph arose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up to the mountain of God. And he said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we come back to you. Indeed, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man has difficulty, let him go to him." So this is probably the first mention of him. In him being Joshua, before Moses goes up into the mount at Sinai. So he was his assistant. So he had been picked out, I presume, because of his leadership characteristics and of God's will. Next, let's turn to Exodus chapter 32, please. And let's go to verse 17. This is after Moses' return, right? And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, There is a noise of war in the camp. But he said, It is not the noise of the shout of victory, nor the noise of the cry of defeat, but the sound of singing I hear. So it was, as soon as he came near the camp, he saw the calf and the dancing. So Moses' anger became hot, and he cast the tablet out of his hands and broke them in front of the mountain. So again, we see Joshua present at these momentous moments in biblical history, this being one of them, when Moses returned to the partying, if you will, of the people, and with the resultant breaking of the tablets. Let's turn over probably one page to Exodus 33 at verse 11. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Again, and it's an example of Joshua being there at this, again, momentous time. This is when they saw the pillar of the cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and the people rose and worshipped each man. This is the preceding verse. Again, I'm not sure of exact chronological order, but let's flip back. I think this is the right order, although in Scripture it often isn't laid out. Chronological order. Let's go back to Numbers 27. Forward to Numbers 27. Transcribing error, so I want to make sure I'm right here. Numbers 11 to verse 26. But two men remained in the camp. The name of one was Eldad, and the name of the other was Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them. Now they were among those listed, but who had not gone out of the tabernacle, yet they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. So Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, one of his choice men, answered and said, Moses, my lord, forbid them. Then Moses said to him, Are you zealous for my sake? Oh, what that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. And Moses returned to the camp, both he and the elders of Israel. I find this pretty interesting, these passages, and I'm not exactly sure what's going on, other than Moses probably, let's see if we could put it in modern vernacular, is telling Joshua that let them prophesy. I'm not going to rebuke them for that. That's the way I read it. If there's another interpretation you see, please bring it to our attention at the Q&A at the end. Numbers 27, chapter 27, verse 15. My notes say the inauguration. Let's see. 27 starting at 15 to 33. Can't be 33. It's got to be 23. It's the end of the chapter. And Moses spoke to the Lord, saying, Let the Lord, the God of the spirit of all the flesh, set a man over the congregation, who may go out before them and go in before them, who may lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be like sheep which have no shepherd. And the Lord said to Moses, Take Joshua, the son of Nun, with you, a man in whose spirit, in whom is the spirit, and lay your hand on him. Set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation and inaugurate him. I'm not sure what word is used in the AV, but the word is inaugurate him in the New King James Version. Continue on to verse 20. And you shall give some of your authority to him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall inquire before the Lord for him by the judgment of the Urim. At his word they shall go out, and at his word they shall come in. And he and all the children of Israel with him, all the congregation. And he laid his hands on him and inaugurated him, just as the Lord commanded by the hands of Moses. Is that the right verb, inaugurate, the right verb for the AV? Is that the word used in the authorized version, inaugurate? Charge, okay. So what's going on here? Moses is going to be leaving the scene here, and he is essentially, by the command of God, delegating authority to two men. I would say both Joshua and Eleazar. If you look at verse 20, verse 20 says, "And you shall give some." Oh, some is in italics. What does the AV say? You shall give some of your authority to him, that meaning to Joshua, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. Does the AV say some? Does the AV indicate a partial? Yeah, okay. So in my mind, that's a partial delegation to Joshua and probably the rest going to the high priest Eleazar. Numbers chapter 34. My notes say divide the land. Let's begin Numbers 34 at verse, 16. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, These are the names of the men who shall divide the land among you as an inheritance. Eleazar the priest, of whom we just spoke, right? Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun. And you shall take one leader of every tribe to divide the land for this inheritance. These are the names of the men. Should we read the names? These are the men from the tribe of Judah, Caleb the son of Jephunneh, So what we're going to read through the... I am not going to go through the rest of the names of those leaders that are involved with the dividing of the land. I don't think it's pertinent, but the important point is Josh was there again. When these important events, the important biblical events are occurring at that time in biblical history, Joshua was there at many of these important events, this being one of them. Okay, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 3 next, please. Verse 18. Deuteronomy 3, verse 18. Then I commanded you at the time, saying, the Lord your God has given you this land to possess. All your men of valor shall cross over armed with your brethren, the children of Israel. But your wives and your little ones and your livestock, I know that you have much livestock, shall stay in your cities until the Lord has given rest to your brethren as to you. And they also possess the land which the Lord your God is giving them beyond the Jordan. Then each of you may return to his possession, which I have given you. And here's the subject verse here. Verse 21, and I command Joshua at that time, saying, your eyes have seen all that the Lord God has done to these two kings. So will the Lord do to all the kingdoms through which you pass. You must not fear them, for your Lord, your God himself fights for you. The two kings to whom he's referring is Sihon, the king of Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, Amorites. I think we will read of that shortly. So what's going on here? He's essentially strengthening Joshua to do what he's got to do in the future taking of the land, although that has already begun again with the two kings, Sihon and Og. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 14. This is the account of the inauguration here in Deuteronomy. Verse 14 reads, then the Lord said to Moses, behold, the days approach when you must die. Call Joshua and present yourselves in the tabernacle of meeting that I may inaugurate him. So Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle of the meeting. Verse 23 further reads, then he inaugurated Joshua, the son of Nun, and said, be strong and of good courage, for you shall bring the children of Israel into the land of which I have sworn to them, and I will be with you. So this is, again, another account of that inauguration that we read of a few moments ago in Numbers. This one is focused more directly on Joshua rather than Joshua and Eleazar, the priest. And in my mind, it in verse 23 are the words which I associate mostly with Joshua, which is what? Be strong and of good courage, isn't it? Whenever I think of Joshua, those are the words. This is one place amongst many where those words are associated with this great man. Now let's go to the book of Joshua. Let's go to chapter 13, please. At verse 10, we see a little more information on those two kings of which we just spoke, Sihon and Og. Let's read verse 10 through maybe three verses. And all the cities of Sihon, king of the Amorites, who reign in Heshbon, as far as the border of the children of Ammon, Gilead, and the border of the Gershurites and the Machiahites, all Mount Hermon and Bashan as far as Salcah. All the kingdom of Og in Bashan, who reigned in Ashtaroth and Edrei, who remained in the remnant of the giants, for Moses had defeated and cast out these. Next chapter, 14, verse 1. These are the areas which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest, Joshua the son of Nun, and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel distributed as an inheritance to them. Again, in this verse, it shows that leadership and authority again is being shared by both Joshua and Eleazar in the dividing of the land. verse 13 in the same chapter. This is where he gives the inheritance to Caleb, and Joshua blessed him and gave him Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Now let's go to chapter 24 in Joshua, last chapter, verse 19. But Joshua said to the people, "You cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he has done you good. And the people said to Joshua, "No, but we will serve the Lord." So Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord for yourselves to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses." Now therefore, he said, "Put away the foreign gods which are among you and incline your ear to the Lord God of Israel." And the people said to Joshua, The Lord our God, we will serve, and his voice we will obey." So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and made for them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. Here Joshua's laying down the law, isn't he? Follow him or not. Things won't go well for you if you don't follow him. Things will go well if you do. And the people say, "We will follow him." This is oftentimes called, is this called the covenant? Yes, verse 25 calls it the covenant. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and made for them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. So let's continue at verse 26, in the same, continuing on from where we just were. Then Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, "Behold, this stone shall be a witness to us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord which he spoke to us. It shall therefore be a witness to you, lest you deny your God." So Joshua let the people depart, each to his own inheritance. Now it came to pass after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him within the border of the inheritance at Timnath-Serah, which is in the mountains of Ephraim on the north side of the Mount of Gaash. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had known all the works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. The bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel had brought out of Egypt, they buried at Shechem in the plot of ground which Jacob had bought for them from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and which has become an inheritance to the children. And Eliezer, the son of Aaron, died, and they buried him in a hill belonging to Phinehas, his son, which was given to him in the mountains of Ephraim. I suppose I didn't have to read those last couple of verses pertaining to Eliezer and the bones of Joseph. So in these verses, I say 27 to 31, Josiah sets up that stone as a witness. Joshua dies there in verse 29 at 110 years old. And in verse 31, it sounds as if the people of Israel were serving the Lord. The words in my version say, Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had known all the works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. Let's go to Judges. Next page over, Judges 1, verse 1. Now, after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, "Who shall be the first to go up for us against the Canaanites to fight against them?" And the Lord said, "Judah shall go up indeed, and I have delivered the land into his hand." So here the mantle, is handed off to others to continue the conquest that Joshua had undertaken. And in this case, Judah goes up and says, "Indeed, I have delivered the land into his hand." And so Judah, verse 3, says, "Come up with me, to my allotted territory that we might fight against the Canaanites, and I will likewise go with you to your allotted territory. Turn the page, please, to chapter 2, verse 6. And then Joshua dismissed the people, the children of Israel, went each his own to his own inheritance to possess the land. So the people served the Lord with all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. Very similar words to what we just read in Joshua. Now Joshua, verse 8, now Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died again when he was 110 years old. Then they buried him within his inheritance at Timnah-Heres in the mountains of Ephraim on the north side of the Mount Gaash. When all the generations had been gathered for the fathers, another a generation arose after them who did not know the Lord nor work which he had done for Israel. So this mention again of Joshua's death and burial and a prophesying or foretelling of what's going to happen with the children in verse 10, when all the generations had been gathered, another generation who did not know the Lord nor the work which he had done for Israel. Now, I just wanted to mention quickly the other Joshua's. Guess how many times Joshua's mentioned in the New Testament? Zero. Kind of surprised me, but Joshua, the son of Josedek. We've got about 4 or 5 minutes, so I won't read it. It's in Haggai, Joshua, the son of Josedek. And First Samuel is Joshua of Beth Shemesh. This was the Joshua whose field the ark was brought when it was sent back from the Philistines. So there's just a brief mention of those two Joshuas. I didn't see any other. I think those are the three Old Testament Joshuas. That concludes my remarks.